We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Audacy put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Audacy. Visit ads.audacy.com.
Hey man. Hey man. Hey bro, you play this like on the way to Sacramento, you'll get there in 6 hours.
Well, you know, Mr. Gebhardt. You know how he feels about this song. He loves it.
This is
ringtone.
This Mr. G's thing right here, man. Again, just so fun hanging out with him. And your daggone mama had me about to boo hooing. I love that lady. That was my first time meeting her.
You had everybody boo hooing.
I mean, you know.
Yeah, there wasn't a dry eye in the place after Randy got done with his toast.
Dude, drunk speeches are my specialty, dog. Mm. I mean, you think about some of my most emotional times were at my best friend's wedding. And my sister's wedding, dude, giving the speech there. I get you. I'm real Hallmarkish.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, I'm real Hallmarkish when I got
maybe
that, when I got
the R-rated Hallmark.
Yeah, because I can't help but to say.
You can't. Yeah.
Yeah, I can't help but to say. Like, we had our family dinner. Everybody was there. We're praying and everything. And I'm just like, Lord, thank you for this blanking food. You know, we just.
It's okay.
You know, I mean. I'm
God doesn't mind.
He don't. Like I said, hey,
you can cuss when you
pray. I fear God. I ain't God fearing. So, you know, that's one of the things where you
cuss when I pray sometimes.
You might as well.
Yeah. Let it really drive the point home. It's a happy hour Friday brought to you by Chattanooga Whiskey.
What I look at, man?
Shout out to Davis. He's got what appears to be a Bloody Mary.
Okay.
So he's getting it started that way on a Friday morning.
You don't do Bloody Mary because you don't like tomato juice like that, right?
It's fine.
Okay.
Like, I don't know. It's not something that I'm going to like go out of my way to get.
Right.
But if they're, you know, if we're like drinking early in the morning and someone hands me a Bloody Mary, I'm going to drink it.
Okay.
But I like them spicy, though.
Yeah, me too.
The thing that I like about Bloody Mary sometimes, too, is all the stuff on the side of it.
Only thing I eat is the olive.
But, like, I had one time that was, like, a little tiny piece of pizza. I was like, I don't need a little piece of pepperoni pizza on the top
wings?
Of my... Yeah, chicken wings.
Chicken wings in a Bloody Mary?
Pepperoni, bacon. Bacon?
I've had it with bacon. People put chicken wings in a Bloody Mary.
Yeah.
It's like a chicken wing garnish on top of it.
There will be occasions at the ballpark, I think maybe the Infinity Club like that, they'll have a Bloody Mary bar for like $15. You can put lunch on top of your Bloody Mary.
Yeah. Put a hoagie on top of it there and just eat it while you're drinking your Bloody Mary. Anyway, send us pictures of whatever it is you're drinking. We'll give you a shout out. Going to get to an NFL No Huddle in just a minute. Brian Baldinger going to join us. NFL Network, Odyssey NFL Insider. Get ready for Championship Sunday coming up right here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. NFC Championship, AFC Championship back-to-back. Then we're going to play Sports Jeopardy coming up at 12:40 as well as we always do on Fridays. And we've got our final standings for the season. We made, each of us, 4 picks against the spread, whatever games we wanted to pick all season long, 2 college, 2 NFL, till we got to the NFL playoffs, and then we each picked 4 NFL games. We'll find out how we all did in the totality of the season. I'm sure Randy won because there was a stretch of time where Randy was picking at 75%.
I know one thing, and I'm going to call my boy out here. Hey, man, can I get my championship belt? You know, when I won the fantasy league.
That's a
because you got it.
You're gonna have to get it today or tomorrow.
Yeah, I need that.
It may have been given to the other dude, two dudes same fantasy. So you're gonna have to take it up with him.
Can I get my belt, please? Thank you, thank you.
We might have a new office.
Hold on, don't give in.
Hold on.
Oh, hang in the office.
Hold on. Hold.
Put it in the office.
Hold on.
Where the Saquon is my homeboy.
How you gonna give my trophy to Bo? Why stuff to Bo?
Huh? Because he's the other dude and he does
the show.
He
wasn't here yet though.
No, he was. He was there for that. He was like it was specifically kind of around us, built around us.
Hold on. Was that a coup?
It sounds like maybe
it sounds like
it was
the belt.
There might have been a silent coup.
It sounded like that was a coup. That y'all, like, etched me out, and y'all did this thing, man.
Yeah, you kind of got edged out there.
It probably happened at 2:05, because you're out at 2. Randy is gone. Randy's in his car out of the parking lot by 2:03.
It's one of my favorite things when Steve, the voice guy, comes out of the room, and he tries to run out, and he's like, is Randy still here? And it's like 2:02, and I'm like, nah,
in the elevator.
You are way too late. Randy's been gone for at least 2 minutes. Like, you got to be out there at 2 if you want to catch Randy. Yeah, it does sound like there was a little bit of a coup, but it sounds like the belt remains in Georgia, so maybe we'll be able to get it in the studio, which is good. I think that'd be kind of cool. Put a championship belt up there on the wall. All right, let's get to an NFL No Huddle.
We're going No Huddle
with the midday show. No Huddle,
the best the NFL has to offer.
Let's go now. Let's go.
NFL No Huddle every single day at noon, and obviously we're looking ahead to a very fun weekend on Sunday, the NFC Championship game and the AFC Championship game. But before we get into that, we'll spend a lot of time on those games with Brian Baldinger as well. Some news from around the NFL. Found out yesterday, right as the show was over, actually, Randy was still here, so it was like 2 o'clock when we found this news out. Frank Reich hired as the new Panthers head coach. I learned this yesterday. He was actually the first quarterback to take a snap.
Yes.
For the Panthers back in 95.
I thought it was Kerry Collins. I thought it was Kerry Collins.
I thought it was a different guy whose name, like, anyway, it was him, I guess. And now he's their new head coach, which means Steve Wilkie is not their head coach.
Yeah,
or
man.
Steve Wilkes is not their head coach. Which does mean he's available, though,
yeah,
if you're looking
for
a defensive coordinator.
Yeah, I just hate that for Wilkie. It's like he got a raw deal out there in Arizona, and obviously I felt, you know, it's just always one of those things when the interim coach, it's very rare that the interim coach gets the job. Anyways.
It is rare.
It's very rare and everything, but I understand some of the angst and everything about why he, you know, because if you read what he was saying, like, he wasn't even the second guy. Hey, Kellen Moore. What the hell does head coaching Kellen Moore say to anybody? But whatever. But, yeah, I wish Wilkie would have got it. All the players, I've been through situations a couple times where the interim coach comes in. Remember Jason Longshore taught us the new coach energy, and you play well, play hard for him, and then when it's time, been there. We in Miami, we wanted to keep I forgot his damn name.
Haslett?
Coach Bates.
Oh, sorry.
Wanted Coach Bates.
I thought, because we were just talking about this.
We love Coach Bates. Wanted Coach Bates. Well, Nick Saban came available. So there it is. You know.
Yeah.
Then, you know, we had Coach Haslam. We want to Has. But then, you know, so happens. So it happens a lot of times. But, yeah, I think Frank Reich, he's qualified, you know, and he's inherited a very nice young team. But, yeah, it's just, you know, fun thing.
Yeah, interim coaches get the job less than 20% of the time.
Yep.
So it just doesn't happen very often. But now he's available, and the Falcons need a defensive coordinator. You make a phone call, right?
Yep. I mean, why not?
Why not?
That's the thing about it is because
people love him. He's qualified.
Yeah, I mean, I know Wilkie. I've been knowing Wilkie. He was out there in San Diego when I was out there. So he's a multiple guy. I think a lot of people, well, what scheme does he run? He's a multiple guy. So, I mean, whatever they want to run and everything. But you bring that kind of experience and everything, especially within the division, why not give him a call?
I would think that you would at least give him a call. Dan Quinn staying put as well. He's not going anywhere. I guess he's committed to trying to win a Super Bowl as a defensive coordinator in Dallas.
Yep.
Or – he was given a little wink, wink, nudge, nudge,
yeah,
and if it doesn't work out with Mike McCarthy next year,
bruh,
he takes that step forward into the head coaching role.
And I heard something this morning.
That's what I think.
I heard something this morning. It was like, did these people offer Dan a job? So was he even offered one of these jobs?
Well, based on what I read yesterday, and again, who knows?
Who
no
knows?
One's going to say for sure if they did or they didn't, especially if you don't get the guy.
Right.
But he was the front runner for the Cardinals job.
Yes.
Like, if he wanted the Cardinals job, based on what I read yesterday,
yes, me too.
From people that know, He it was his.
Right.
If he wanted that job, it was his.
Yep. It's not a good job.
It's not a good job.
Yeah, exactly. So,
I understand why you wouldn't want that job.
I mean, he's already one of the highest paid assistants in ball. I'm sure Jerry gave him another bump.
Probably.
And, I mean, that just sounded like some flim-flam bim-bam that might happen if Mike McCarthy and them are struggling, which I don't think they do because they got a good team. They got good players.
Right. But so I guess the question now is what's acceptable? Because this year they won one playoff
game.
Right? So you got to win two playoff games next year. You got to get to the NFC Championship
game. NFC Championship game.
At least, or they're going to move on from him. And so my thing is this with Dan Quinn, because he sort of said he kind of painted himself into a corner a little bit as far as that job goes. He wants to win a Super Bowl there.
Yes.
So say they win enough games next year to not fire Mike McCarthy but don't win a Super Bowl.
Mm-hmm.
Dan Quinn's still going to be a hot coordinator job.
He is.
Does he come off the stance?
I don't know. I mean, that's the thing about it is you always want to pick the right job. You don't want to pick a job because the phrase – but there's 32 of them and all that stuff, but you don't want to pick. I think Arizona's a bad job.
I agree with you.
I think it's a bad job, but it's one of 32.
Especially the situation they're in right now
with
where you know year one you're going in, your quarterback's injured.
Yes.
And year two you come back and he's healthy, hopefully he plays good.
Yes.
And there's obviously been issues with him and the way he gets along with teammates. So, yeah, there are only 32 jobs, but I don't think that applies to everybody.
I agree.
Sean Payton's not like, there's only 32 jobs, I got to take it. Like, certain guys have their choice. And I think Dan Quinn's one of those guys. Like,
yeah.
Dan Quinn's going to be a hot candidate for the next handful of years.
It just seemed like Jared with that mouthpiece. Just like, hey, Dan, I got, you know. Because he got offers.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, he had offers last year, too.
Yeah, he did.
So that's my thing. It's like, did Jerry say something to him?
Made it worth his time.
Made it worth his time.
And gave him an idea that he's next in line, which there's, you know, be the head coach of the Dallas Cowboys. There's nothing wrong with that.
Hell yeah.
All right, here's Robert Saleh, who's the head coach of the New York Jets, talking about, well, this is not why we brought in Nathaniel Hackett.
It doesn't matter what the connections are. Everyone's got a connection to everybody in this league. But the most important thing was finding a guy who we felt could continue developing our young guys at a very high level, and a guy who's done it before. A guy who's had success in this league with a variety of different quarterbacks.
Well, he was the OC when the Jaguars almost beat the Patriots.
That's true. So he's got he took Blake Bortles to a decent season.
He did,
which is probably the number one thing that should be on his resume.
Yeah, but I think that because you know Aaron's on a contract, so you can't mention any names or anything like that. But hell yeah, I bet that was in their mind. Like he could probably support because they've already come out and said that they will do it. They'll do it now. All the other stuff is, you know, the contract and all that other stuff, they got to work all that out. But, I mean, this is one of those things where, yeah, they talk about Woody will do it.
Johnson?
Woody Johnson, yeah. He'll do it. Bet your bottom dollar.
Yeah, the Packers just have to be willing to do it.
Exactly.
But, yeah. When you make a comment that says that's not why we hired a guy, that's usually why you hired a guy.
I'll tell you what,
Or at least part of the reason why
I think that
guy.
The Packers are willing to move Aaron. Mm-hmm. I think they're like, hey, man, hey, bro, you know. Okay, you want to go? All right, bye.
Let's do it then.
Let's do it. I honestly think they are at that point now.
So do you think he's the quarterback in New York next year?
No.
Oh. Well, then why not then? If they're willing to do it and the Jets are willing to do it.
I'm saying that I don't think Aaron wants to do it.
Oh, Aaron doesn't want
to. Yeah, I don't think Aaron wants to. I think Aaron wants to stay in Green Bay.
What does Aaron want?
I don't know, but I think he wants to stay in Green
the
Bay.
The big mystery of the offseason. I don't think
I don't think Green Bay wants to do it. I think they will
be
do
willing
it.
To do
yeah,
it.
Yeah, I think they'll be willing to
I
do
think
it.
The Jets want to do
no,
it.
No, the Jets want it.
And I think Aaron wants to go on some nature walks and take some hallucinogens.
Ain't no nature, it depends on what part of New York City you go to. You might see some stuff you don't want to see.
You probably don't want to pop too many mushrooms and walk down the wrong block.
You know
though.
What I'm saying?
You know what I mean?
Get hemmed up.
Yeah, end up in the wrong place. All right. Obviously, we'll talk to Brian Baldinger in about 10 minutes more about the championship games. But let's start here with Travis Kelce talking about a nickname that he's not super fond of for their stadium.
We are the loudest stadium in the world on record. 142 decibels.
Did you guys break the record this week?
I don't know. Maybe we're going to have to break it this week because a lot of Cincinnati Bengals fans are calling it Burrowhead instead of
Burrowhead.
Arrowhead.
Whoa!
Yeah.
The disrespect to Arrowhead continues.
They're throwing a lot of bulletin board material out there, man.
Well, y'all ain't going to beat them because of that.
Well,
yeah, whatever.
A little extra chip.
Whatever.
You got to build those chips up.
Whatever. I mean,
so we've talked about the last couple of weeks. You don't know where chips are coming from these days.
You know what? Them boys that's coming from Cincinnati, they were down 21-3 in that loud-ass stadium. Their quarterback.
That's why they're renaming it Burrowhead.
Their quarterback had two good ankles. They had the fastest man in the NFL on that team.
True.
And all that. All that stuff. And took an L. Cincinnati ain't worried about that. They ain't worried about the atmosphere and how loud it is and the decibel points and all.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Let's not worry about that. They went in there and did that. Been there, done that. Boop, boop, doop, doop. So, yeah, whatever.
That's why they're going to rename it.
I mean,
so we're calling it this now. We're not scared of your decibels.
I love that. That's what I'm telling
coming
you.
In here, this
that's
Arrowhead.
What Joe Burrow does for his team.
Change the name.
He gives them that kind of confidence that he don't even have to say it. I let them say it.
Other people say it. Travis Kelce's saying it.
Yes.
By the way, that podcast him and his brother do.
It's so great.
Excellent.
It's so great.
Very, very funny.
Yes, it's
those
so
guys
great.
Do a really good job. All right, here's A.J. Brown talking about he didn't get the ball much last week. Now, they scored 38 points and they won. He says that's all right.
You throw the ball to me 100 times, I'm gonna want it 101 times. Me personally, I just feel like I can chase the game, you know, any moment. You know, getting the ball often, you know, keeps you going, keeps you in the rhythm. I'm never the receiver there to go on the sideline or to try to cause like problems on the sideline. I'm not that guy. I think that's what you can describe as a diva, whatever the case may be. But I'm not that person. You know, I'm a guy who loves and talk to the quarterback or talk to the OC and do it that way. You know, I'm not gonna try to cause commotion on the sidelines. That's not who I am.
He was pouting. Mm-hmm. And here's my thing. I would say, because I can't say anything because I've been there and I've done it. They did not go into the game plan. Nick Sirianni, offensive coordinator, Jalen Hurts. Hey, we're going to throw you the ball. We're going to throw AJ the ball today. We're going to throw the ball. That's not how it works. Believe me, because this conversation has been had with me. All right, Randy? Oh, yeah, okay. So you just think we just got a game plan, said don't throw the damn ball to Randy. Is that what you're telling me? Yeah. You're in that emotion right
Yeah,
there.
You're emotional you're at emotional that point. Right now. Nah, you're they found something right else now. That worked, and they kept doing it.
And that's it.
Scored 38 points.
That's
they went 38-7. I'll say this. If they win on Sunday, mm-hmm. he's going to be a big part of
yes,
it.
Yes, he is.
Because that secondary, if San Francisco has a weakness,
that's it.
Those guys in the secondary, they might be able to take advantage of it. We'll talk to Brian Baldinger from NFL Network, Odyssey NFL Insider, about both of those games coming up next. Don't go anywhere. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, the midday show with Andy and Randy with you here on a happy hour Friday, brought to you by Chattanooga Whiskey. 20 minutes away from Sports Jeopardy on Friday. Still send your questions over to Bo or Brian if you'd like to. Send your AMA questions in as well. And if you're out there participating in happy hour Friday, send us a picture or whatever it is that you're drinking at TBM929, at RandyMac81. We'll give you a shout out. As we continue to get ready for Championship Sunday in the NFL, we welcome Brian Baldinger to the show, our Odyssey NFL insider. Be sure to check out Brian, by the way, as well as Jason Lockenfora and Carl Dukes on the original podcast In the Huddle on the Odyssey app. Baldy, how are you?
Hey.
Randy, it's good to be with you guys, man.
He's on the phone, not on TV.
Sunday, I mean, we're all getting ready.
Okay, well, you're on the phone now, Baldy, because the last 2 days we thought you were on the damn TV. Like, hold on. Baldy's on damn TV right then and there. So, we're glad to have you here.
Where are you at? I'm my house in Fort Lauderdale here right now. Heading to Philadelphia.
What game
Saturday.
Are you doing? Okay, that's what I should ask. What game are you doing?
I'll be in Philly on Sunday, Randy. Yeah.
Well, let's start with that one then. Obviously going to be a really fun matchup between the Eagles and the 49ers. Kind of a old school slobber knocker type of matchup potentially. If Brock Purdy and this fairy tale is going to continue, what does the San Francisco offensive game plan need to look like?
Well, they've got to keep the dogs off them. I mean, this Philly pass rush all year long, has been just lethal. I mean, it was last week against the Giants, and not just sacks. So they have 75 of them. It's like there's so many more than anybody else. But it's just the way that they pressure too. I mean, they could get there with four. You know, they blitzed last week once. You know, with the safety, and next thing you know, Daniel Jones throwing interception the game. They cover on the back end really good. I think Bradbury and Jerry, and Slay are really, really good. So there's really no weakness. And so I don't think they've seen a defense. They saw a fast defense against Dallas last week, and they handled that okay. Although, it wasn't like the best offensive performance. They scored one touchdown.
Right.
But they're going to see just a much better defensive front this week. And so how do they protect the quarterback? That's Kyle Shanahan's, that's his – responsibility this week to protect the young quarterback as much as he can, whether it's play action, max protection, screen game, run the ball. But they got to protect their quarterback in this one because they got about four or five guys that can get there about as good as anybody in this league.
How confident are you in the 49ers if they can't get that run game going? Because I know Christian McCaffrey, he has a little thing. They're not, they say he's playing, but yeah, he's a little banged up. How confident are you in Kyle's ability to call plays for them to try and get a win if they can't run the ball consistently?
Well, they didn't run it well at all in the first half last week. Right. Dallas pretty much shut it down. And then they ran it much better in the third and fourth quarter, Randy. They made some adjustments in how they did it. They went really almost exclusively to a two-back offense. And Elijah Mitchell's the next guy up. He's really good. He's really fast. He was a sixth-round pick last year. And I'm not saying he's Christian McCaffrey, but, I think if Christian is slowed by that calf injury, you never know how those things go. If he does get slowed by it, they're going to go straight to Mitchell, who's more capable of carrying the mail. He might not be as dynamic as McCaffrey in the passing game and some of the things he can do, but he's for what they want out of the run game, him and Debo can certainly provide it.
What does San Francisco try to take away from Philadelphia's offense? I mean, their offense is so versatile, and Jalen Hurts is playing such great quarterback, and he can run as well. What is San Francisco's game plan to try to take something away from that offense?
Well, that's a great question because teams have struggled to do that. I think the thing they do best, and as good, if not better than anybody, is the deep ball. Yeah. And so I would be willing to give up, you know, Jalen Hurts rushing yards, maybe something in the run game, not to get beat over the top. Because it looks like when the 49ers do get beat or they do give up big plays, it's over the top. And, starting week one against Chicago, Justin Fields hit Dante Pettis for a big touchdown. We saw DK Metcalf in the first round of wild card weekend, you know, get him for a 50-yarder. They give up big plays in the passing game if you could block them up. I would say that's what they don't want to do. They're willing to maybe surrender some in the run game or the screen game or over the middle, but they don't want to get beat over the top. And so if I had to take something away, that'd be what I concentrate on.
Last year, Baldy, the Bengals were down 21-3 at that loud place that they're going to be playing in this weekend, and their quarterback had two good legs, had the fastest receiver in football, all those different things, and still Cincinnati was able to win that football game. Do you see a possibility of that happening again, but it could be a lot different, more like Buffalo this year than it was last year in Kansas City?
Well, I think Cincinnati's a favorite, Randy. I mean, in my eyes, they're the favorite. You know, it's interesting. You know, they've beaten them three times in the last year, once obviously in the AFC Championship game, and then once each during the regular season. And in those three games, Cincinnati's turned the ball over one time. I mean, if you don't turn the ball over, you're probably going to win this game. You know, if you go back to just the game in Week 13 in Kansas City, I mean, Kansas City was winning the game, and then the linebacker, Jermaine Pratt, you know, he ripped the ball out of Travis Kelce's hands, and, you know, they got the ball on the ground, Trey Henderson recovered, they went out and scored the game-winning touchdown. I just think this thing is going to come down to who takes care of the ball the best, yet still stays aggressive. And so, you know, in that game where Cincinnati was down 21-3, they got the ball in the third quarter, and they threw a screen pass to Samaje Perine. He went to the house, and really, before everybody was in their seats for the start of the third quarter, it was 21-10. Mm. You know, and then they made some adjustments on second down that really kind of knocked the Kansas City Chiefs off balance a little bit. And, you know, that was the turning point in the game.
Brian Baldinger joining us here on the Midday Show with Andy and Randy, our Odyssey NFL insider. Follow him on Twitter, by the way, at Baldy NFL. Baldy, I think with some quarterbacks, I don't know, great quarterbacks, you can look at them and it's kind of easy to tell yourself what you think they're best at. You understand why that guy is so great. What is it about Joe Burrow that stands out to you as the thing that makes him so good?
Well, it's a thing that's so hard to see. I don't think anybody goes through the progressions of what a defense is doing pre-snap, what they're trying to do and who they're trying to take away, and how he can go from 1 to 2 to 3 faster than anybody in the league. I think that's what he does best. A lot of guys can go through progressions quickly. They just can't get their feet set to make accurate stick throws the way he can. And he can do that. We saw it on the first touchdown to Ja'Marr Chase last week where, you know, he had to move a little bit in the pocket and then Chase just uncovered and found him. He was like the third option on the play. I think that's what he does best. But then he is just, to say that he's supremely confident doesn't say enough about how he feels about how he throws a football and how good he is. He knows he's good. It's just he really just doesn't miss. You know, you just don't see bad throws from him. The ball doesn't come out of his hands wonky. It doesn't. The ball doesn't. You know, it's always in a tight spiral. It's always in the right place. I mean, he's just a consistent, accurate thrower, and he can put the ball right where he wants to put it.
Baldy, I know they're both great quarterbacks, but which one of them do you need needs the run game the most?
I think this week I would say Patrick Mahomes, just because we all feel he's going to be a little bit limited, Randy. And we've seen Mahomes come back from injuries before, and it doesn't seem like there's anything that bothers him. But I would say, you know, that ankle injury, I don't know what he's like. Nobody's going to know until game day. I don't know if he's going to know until he gets chased, Randy, what he's going to be like. But I feel like the Chiefs, I've always said, the Chiefs' offensive line, Isaiah Pacheco, Jet McKinnon, like if they wanted to run a power run game, they could be pretty good at it, if not really good. I mean, it's not what they'd really like to do. Mm-hmm. But I feel like Mahomes needs it this week more than ever.
Let me sneak a Falcons question in here for you, Baldy, because obviously we're still highly focused on what they're going to do this offseason. Two-parter, I guess. Do you think the Ravens will seriously consider trading Lamar? Because there's a lot of smoke around that possibility. And if they do, should the Falcons be in that market?
He would fit in what they do, for sure. I know what they said last week in all the press conferences and what John Harbaugh said, I just think they're going to – I just think Steve Bisciotti is going to have a hard time. And I'm not speaking for Steve, but he is the owner. He's got to write the check. I just think the sticking point in this whole contract was they just aren't going to give a guaranteed contract to Lamar.
Right.
Now, they weren't going to do that before the season started. Then he missed the last five games and didn't show up at a playoff game. And, you know, like whether it's contract related or not, I don't know. I'm not here to speculate. But, you know, I just think they're going to have a hard time writing a check for $230 or $250 guaranteed million dollars to a guy that's missed 11 games in the last 2 years and has not proven to be a great passer when you got to be. And so I just think you could say, okay, well, that's what Deshaun got and, you know, that's what Kyler got. Well, okay, they got it, but are they worth it? I don't think they are. So I just think the Ravens are – like they might have to franchise tag him, and then, you know, if that happens, is Lamar going to play for it? I have my doubts that he's going to play for it. So if that happens – could he be traded? I would say never. I would say that is a possibility. And if I was the Falcons, I'd be interested.
That about a minute, Baldy. We were talking about it before we got you on. Why do you think Dan Quinn stayed on as DC of the Cowboys? Do you think Jared sweetened the pot with money, or was it a wink, wink? If this dude messes it up, I got you.
There might be a wink, wink there, Randy. I don't know. I remember I was talking to a guy that's candidate for some of these coaching jobs, and I just said, like, not all these jobs are a great job.
Right.
You know, sometimes you got to wait for the right job, you know, and so I just don't know that there's a job out there that Dan Quinn's looking at going, that's a great job, you know, whether it's a quarterback or the structure or salary cap. Not every job is a great job, and I think Dan knows that. He had one obviously in Atlanta and, you know, kind of fizzled on him. Not every job is a great job. I think Dan knows that, and you know why go and go through all that stress if you know 2 years from now you're going to be in the same situation because of certain factors? So stay in Dallas and see if they can get themselves over this playoff hump right now.
Baldy, we appreciate it.
You, my brother.
Have a great time in Philly this weekend.
Enjoy the games, guys. I'll talk to you next week.
All right, buddy. Brian Baldinger there. Odyssey NFL Insider, NFL Network as well. Follow him at Baldy NFL. And
yes, hold on.
Till when? Oh.
It's coming. Cash rules everything around me.
Cream, get the money.
Dollar bill, yo.
I grew up. There you go. There we go.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, Midday Show with Andy and Randy. Best piano rap beat of all time?
I'm trying to find one better.
There's a lot of really good ones. This might be the best. Sports Jeopardy coming up in just a couple of minutes. It's a happy hour Friday, like we mentioned, brought to you by Chattanooga Whiskey, including their Chattanooga Whiskey 91. Perfect pour at the end of the day. Medium-bodied notes of sweet tea, honey toast, dried apricot, or to start the day, or in the middle of the day, whenever you're having your happy hour. Shout out to Brian's sister. She's participating in happy hour as well.
Yeah.
She's got her cool mama vibes cup. It's hot pink.
Yeah.
That's a nice-looking cup to be drinking out of in the middle of the afternoon.
Yeah, you talking about you want one of those. I'm like,
Yeah, cool mama vibes.
Yeah, Anthony Sr., he got some coffee and some one-proof white rum.
Yeah, that I don't know what that is.
I don't either.
But it looks like it'll...
Look how you get you jacked up.
It looks like it'll work.
And
yeah, overproof rum.
Grizzy, he got the Magenta tequila, which is some good stuff right there. But yeah, because we were talking, because you know my wife, like she's very picky about people using her stuff, like me. But like she'll use stuff that she's not, like she's off limits to my hoodie. I was gonna wear a different hoodie today. She got it on. My coffee cup, I paid $50 for her, all right, for my PGA Tour cup.
Tour Championship.
I made $50 for this thing.
You did. All right? Now, it was full of vodka
when I bought it. Yeah. But I was full of vodka when I bought it, too. So I was like, this is my cup. It's a souvenir cup. I put it up there like, she done took it and put her ragged-ass V cup, whatever, what's it called? K-cup.
K-cup, yeah.
Coffee in my stuff, man. So I say, why you do that? What's yours is mine. He said the other day when I asked you if I could use your charger for a second, you know, just so picky, man, just real. But I was like, I paid $50 damn. And the reason I get upset, because I paid $50 damn for that cup.
Yeah. It was more of like a souvenir, right?
Andy, no. If I was in my right damn mind, I would have never paid $50 for no damn Yeti.
Because you didn't at first, right? Like, we were in the middle of the show, and you're like, I'm not paying that much money for that cup. And then by the end of the show, when more tequila. I mean, we were in the damn Tito's hospitality tent.
Yes.
Man, we had so much to drink that day. God, that was a fun day.
Yes, it was.
That Friday at the Tour Championship.
Yes, it was.
By the end of the show, you were more than happy to spend $50 on that.
And they got two refills.
Yeah.
Yeah, they got two refills.
And I stumbled my drunk ass into the memorabilia tent, bought a hat that I've only worn once since then, a t-shirt, got some koozies, all kinds of stuff. They get you. That's where they'll get you. Get a little liquored up and then spend money at a golf tournament. All right, before we get to Sports Jeopardy, what?
Oh, no, this is basketball rumors. It's somebody, they want two first rounds for two first round picks for Alex Caruso.
Okay.
Has to be a parody account.
Good luck. And I love Alex Caruso.
For two first round picks.
Yeah. I don't think that's going to happen. All right. Brian's going to tell us what we did on the season, though. We've been making picks against the spread every single Friday. Not going to do it this weekend because there's not four games, but let's find out the end of year standing.
So everyone on the show except me went above 500.
All
and
right.
Collectively, the show made people money if you were paying attention. Randy won by quite a margin, 47-32 and 1 overall.
Wow.
And that was with like a really bad start
and
a bad playoff performance. Like in the middle, he was just red hot. Like,
thank you.
Just pure heat there.
Thank you.
Bo won by, beat out Andy by one tie.
Oh.
One tie. 41-37 and 2 overall was Bo. Andy was 41-38. And one overall. I needed my damn Giants to cover the spread to get over 500. I was 38-39-2. Awful all year. Pretty good in the playoffs the last couple weeks to salvage the season. As a show, overall, 167-146-6. So we
That's
made some
it.
People some money out.
That's pretty good, huh?
If you were taking our bets this year, you made a little bit of money.
Okay.
Did you? I finished three games over 500. Is that what you said?
Yeah, you're three games over 500. I went
4-0 last weekend
to get
sneak over 500.
Exactly.
Yes.
Hey, finish strong.
Hey,
you know?
Whatever. I'll take it. We'll take it.
Well, you know.
Yeah, you won.
Yeah, thank you.
Congratulations.
Appreciate that, man. That means a lot considering how Brian was trashing me out of the week, too. I was like, hold on, dog. I'm just letting y'all get out ahead so I can come catch you.
Yeah, you've been dominating Sports Jeopardy, too. Hopefully I can change that
so
today.
So Randy's going to gamble next year.
Yeah.
That's what I heard.
I got a
Let's
maybe.
Do it.
I got a maybe.
Let's
All
do
right,
it.
Guys, let's play some Sports Jeopardy.
This is
Andy and Randy's Sports Jeopardy.
I'm not losing my money.
Andy.
Randy.
All right. Now we're ready.
Yeah, we are.
From 1993 to 1996, Braves outfielder Dave Justice was married to what
Randy.
Formal Randy?
Holly Burry.
Guy said my name also, but I guess
I think
he said
he got his
name
in
faster.
There first.
Maybe.
I just heard it first.
Must have.
Who's the tiebreaker go to then?
Him. You already did it.
No, I'm pretty sure that. Never mind.
This is how I'm playing today, all right? We got whiny
so
bunk today.
Never change.
Oh, yeah. I've been getting my ass kicked, man.
And the snarkiness does not hide.
No, I know.
The Braves went from first place in 1990 to first – or went from last place in 1990 to first place in 1991, thanks in part to the addition of what former Cardinals third baseman?
Randy.
Andy.
Andy.
He did say it first, but he said it quiet.
Well, see, I can't hear whispers.
It was Terry Pendleton.
Yeah, he did say it first.
What NFL award did Michael Vick win in 2010? His
Andy.
First.
Oh.
Andy Bunker.
Comeback?
Yes.
Comeback player of the year. In 1983, UGA reached the NCAA Final Four for the first time ever.
Mm-hmm.
Only to be eliminated by what Cinderella team?
Oh, Randy.
Randy.
Oh. Was it Villanova?
Not Villanova.
Say the year again.
1983.
Oh, NC State.
Oh, that was in that year. That was Valvano.
Yeah,
that was Valvano.
Yeah.
I think that was
you have all the Final Four teams cataloged because you were like, what's the year? Hold on.
Well, yeah, because you said I know the Cinderella years, I guess.
Okay. Yeah, that was Valvano, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Okay.
Born in Sonoy. What linebacker starred at East Coweta High School?
Randy.
Andy.
Randy.
Jones.
Mr. Jones?
You finished the question?
No, okay, I know who it is, but I'm not going to say his name.
Yeah, I know. I do too, but I can't remember his name.
Born in Sonoy, what linebacker starred at East Coweta High School, then Georgia Tech, then had five straight Pro Bowl seasons with the Falcons?
Come on, Andy.
I know.
Come on, Andy. Come on, Andy.
I don't.
Can you see his face?
We have the guy. The guy called in about him.
I know.
Him.
The guy calls in about him all the time.
Yeah. You good?
No, I forget.
Keith Brooking.
Keith Brooking. God dang it. Sorry, Keith. Sorry, Coweta.
What defensive end for the Falcons started a comeback in the 1998 NFC Championship game by forcing a fumble by Randall? Andy Bunker.
Come on, dog.
Chuck Smith.
Thank you. I was like, come on, dog. Phew.
That one to take a one
the
answer.
The brain fart
lead.
Was carrying over from the previous yes. one.
Who pitched for both the Boston and Milwaukee Braves, then served as team
Randy.
Broad. Randy Michael.
Phil Kronico.
I'm not sure if he ever pitched for the Braves.
Phil Negro.
Well, yeah, that's the right answer.
Yeah, Phil.
Yeah, you added a whole syllable. Usually you cut it off.
You said Kronico.
But that's the right name.
Phil Negro.
No, I was not right.
Oh, is that?
Oh, it's not?
Oh.
No.
Would you like the whole question?
Yeah.
Who pitched for both the Boston and Milwaukee Braves and served as team broadcaster from 1962 to 1999?
Oh, Don Sutton? Nope.
Who is it? Ernie Johnson Jr.
Oh.
The broadcasting booth at Turner Field is named
that's
after
right.
Ernie Johnson.
That's
Jr.
right. Ernie's day.
Or senior.
Ernie,
my bad.
Ernie's
senior.
Pops. Ernie's Pops.
Yeah, senior. Okay.
Jeez. It's 2015. What Falcons running back, what Falcons rookie running back?
Andy. Andy.
Hold on. I don't know who did.
Go ahead.
BG?
Andy, because Randy got the last one, so we'll go coin flip
right,
to Andy's
go.
Direction there.
Devontae Freeman.
Andy.
Oh.
In 2015, what rookie running back out of Indiana crushed for
Tevin Coleman.
Dang it.
Tevin Coleman.
That ties us back up with two questions left. In 1995, 1996, what Hawks guard set
Andy.
The teams?
Mookie Blaylock.
BG, we might need a question here. If Randy can get this one, it'll be a tie. If Andy gets it, it'll be for the win. Along with Warrick Dunn and Michael Vick, what Michigan State
Randy.
Running back, Randy
Dang
Michael?
It.
TJ Beckett.
Wow. BG, you got a tie-breaking question off the top of your head.
Who is currently favored in the AFC
Randy.
Championship?
Randy Michael.
The Eagles.
Did you say?
I said AFC Championship.
Yeah, so.
And he did that on purpose.
Oh.
I refuse the win. It's Randy's.
They're going to – you know what? We're tying today.
Okay, we'll tie.
You guys get a tie.
For Brian.
You guys are tying.
What's the tie song? What do you do?
I don't know. We play like a third song. We play another random one. What's the tie one? What do we got?
Okay,
oh,
that's
back
fine.
To Cream.
Back
okay.
to Cream. Yeah.
Tie. If we're going to tie, let's play some Wu-Tang. That's
Might
fine.
As well.
That was
better than getting beat 7-0, I guess. Ugh. Horrible. All right, we'll come back. We'll get to the most important audio in the world to kick off the 1 o'clock hour. Brian Gebhardt's final hour with the show. Straight ahead. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.